Podtacular episode 379, Emmy nominated for July 1st, 2013. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And we are recording on an off day again. We're kind of playing catch up a little bit because of our last two podcasts being on Wednesdays and us being behind on the bulletins a little bit. So we decided to go ahead and kind of do an intermediate podcast to get you guys up to speed on the latest and greatest in the Halo Universe, because there has been a few extra details that have come out over the last week. And we want to kind of cover those before the next bulletin and before we get too wrapped up in RTX, because as you guys know, Brent and myself will be together at RTX. We'll be in the same room. Oh my gosh. It's going to be too much to handle.
Live video of us in the same hotel room in Austin, Texas.
For Thursday. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be great. I'll be taking a bus there on Wednesday. Don't know when Dustin will be showing up, but
I will be flying.
Yes, sometime on Wednesday that day. While I wait on Dustin, I will probably bum out near the bus station, assuming the cops don't try to arrest me and put me in jail between then. But yes,
I think
Austin,
you'll be
Texas,
fine.
Next week we're gonna be there, and picks or it didn't happen. Picks will happen.
There will be plenty of picks.
Yes, you will see the picks, so therefore it will have happened.
And video. There will be plenty of video as well.
Yes, plenty of guests on the show.
So I mentioned this earlier on Twitter for those of you that may have seen it, but this is the first time that Brent and I have really done a convention together, unless you count MLG 2009 as one, where we did our Shishka interview. All the way back then, which was oh so exciting, especially with the fact that we came up with your Shishka.
Oh yeah, that was great. A lot of inside jokes came from that particular tournament that year. Jerome, for example.
Yep.
This is the first real convention, you know, where we get to meet a lot of the people from the Halo community who make it as great as it is. It's gonna be fun.
And I will have to note this right now. This is the first time Jess is going to meet Brent.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. She's going to hate that. She's going to be like, oh, man, I wish I'd never met you.
No, she's going to be like, oh, my gosh, Brent. Because I think she honestly loves you as a co-host.
I think
she's dying to see you, to be honest.
I love BS Angel. That's going to be one of the highlights of my trip. So,
yeah. So,
other than meeting Jen Taylor and just telling her how much I enjoyed her performance as Halsey and Cortana.
And, of course, the dating sim pitch.
Oh, yeah. We got to get that in there.
Yeah, we do. But we are not the only ones on the podcast tonight. We also have a regular occurring... I want to say you're almost a co-host now. We're getting to that point where you're almost pretty much a sit-in co-host. We may have to work out some contractual stuff, but we have Halo Fan for Life back on the show.
How you doing?
Doing all right.
You could just say recurring guest host. That's okay. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but yours is becoming quite frequent as of late.
I wish you'd become a co-host, just straight up like official Podtacular co-host.
Oh, that's up to you, man.
He needs a better mic first. Sorry.
It's up to you.
I'm drawing the line there.
I'm saying you can buy a microphone, but you can't buy the kind of talent that Halo Fan for Life has.
That is true. That is quite true.
Hey, actually, speaking of, I'm not sure if it'll work, but I'll try it. A friend of mine, if you don't mind me mentioning him real quick, his name's Cyrus Naoni. He's from Hawaii. Reader and friend of mine. He's also on my friends list. Sent me a Halo 4 Triton headset.
Ooh,
yeah. So
which
I don't
one?
Know if it'll work through the computer, but it'll certainly work with Xbox. So
the Triton's the wireless one?
No, it's wired.
Okay.
But so if it works on this, great. If not, at least my Xbox headset will be better.
Yeah, we'll get you working. All right. So we got a few things to talk about tonight, one of which is last week's bulletin. So we are definitely a few days late on that, and the bulletin was actually a day late. So we're not doing too badly trying to play catch up, but there are some things to talk about, most of which is some questions that the community has about Spartan Ops coming out of E3. So Sal actually has a question in here, which is pretty interesting.
Oh, yes. Spartan Assault, you mean?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I said Spartan Ops, didn't I? Spartan Assault is what I meant.
Yeah.
So we have a few more clarifying details on how the experience is actually going to work. Of course, it's all still on the Windows 8 platform. Nothing yet about being on Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh, they were so good about not answering that question. That was the question. And of course they didn't answer it.
Of course. Because why would they? So, of course, everything's still on the Windows 8 platform. It's still $7. There's going to be 25 missions, basically broken down in groups of 5. So similar to the Spartan Ops experience, you're going to have basically 5 different missions and 5 like objectives type things. I forget what the breakdown was on how they classified it, but you basically have 5 sets of 5 missions that's going to be taking place in this experience. Of course, still $7.
Plus, they're going to have challenges, too.
Yeah, so I'm getting there.
It's still within the context of those missions, but it's cool that it gives you some reason to come back and play them again.
Right, and it actually gives a little bit of different experience when you actually go through them. So you won't be doing the same... You'll be doing the same mission every time, but you'll have different experiences that actually explore probably different parts of the maps that you're playing on. So that's good. Variety is always... nice to see in a game. Kind of brings a longevity to it. A couple other things that I think a lot of people are probably at least happy to hear is going to be cloud saved. So that means on any platform that you start and pause and finish a game on, you can pick up right where you left off on any other platform. So if you start it on your phone, you can pause and save and then go to your tablet device and then or go to your computer and then pick up right where you left off. So that's how the cloud save is going to work. They're not going to go into any like ODST style stuff with Palmer. They did say that it's pretty much starting off at the beginning of Palmer's and Davis's careers as Spartan IVs. So no ODST stuff, as we actually discussed about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Sal, you were on that show, but we're not having any ODSTs on this one, unfortunately.
But we'll get that in August with the premiere of the first comic book that is about Palmer as a an ODST.
Right.
So
I forget what it was called, the comic. They have a name for it, right?
Yeah, I can't recall offhand.
Yeah. Sorry, blanking on the name. Someone in the
Sarah
chat room
Palmer Chronicles.
Is it the Sarah Palmer
Chronicles? It's the Chronicles of never mind.
Yeah, you and I were going to the same spot. All right, so a couple clarifying details on that. There's still no solid release date on it. It's still slated for July 2013 sometime.
It was stated, I think, that Windows 8 games come out on Wednesdays, I think they said. So they're expecting it to at least be a Wednesday anyways.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I'm surprised they actually put in my question. But then, the answer that they gave. My question was, is there any significance to Palmer's armor being silver while Davis's is gold? And there was actually a longer question to that, and that's okay that they cut it down. But then all they answered with is maybe, drawn out long, you know. I was trying to infer that Palmer was, like, second place in...
they're not going to really talk about that. I mean, that's part of the story probably behind the game. They're not going to really talk about it that much.
No, I get that. I'm actually a little surprised that they even put it in at all in the bulletin and even answered with a maybe, because that's cryptic then. It gets you thinking like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Was I on the right track? Either that or they're just messing with me.
Yeah, I don't think they would put the maybe in there unless they really meant that was actually something, you know, important to the story.
Yeah.
Right. So as far as, like, the story goes, I think there were like four or five different questions in here on it, and they basically just didn't answer any of them. It's like, we're not going into spoiler territory. In time, you'll see what's all an offer for this. So just be patient. We only have less than a month to go. So we're close. It's not like we're going to be missing a lot if we don't hear from it like super soon. So
I'm still bumming. I'm not going to have the device to be able to play it and report on it. And ugh, I just wish it was coming to the Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah, well.
Do they understand how much money they could make putting it out on XBLA?
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Get Windows A on the phone or a tablet from a friend and just play it on there. Just sign into your Live account.
I have no friends that have it. That's the point. I have, my brother-in-law has Windows 7. He hates Windows 8. He said he had it and he took it off. He absolutely hates Windows 8.
Just
so,
about everyone I've talked to hates Windows 8.
Yeah. You know,
it's this Microsoft cycle of good OS, bad OS, good OS, bad OS, and this is the bad OS.
Yeah. I would be perfectly happy if they brought Spartan Assault to Xbox Live Arcade and charged 10 or 15 bucks for it. That'd be fine.
Yeah,
you know?
Just put it on PSN right now or Wii Network, the Nintendo eShop. Get it out there.
Oh, boy.
There's a lot of people that I think would pick it up on, you know, they'd buy it on Xbox Live for 10 or 15 bucks. You know, but I'm not going to plunk down 400 bucks for a Win 8 device. So,
nope.
Oh, we talked about that before.
Yeah, and I have TechNet, so I can just go and grab a copy of Windows 8. Which, actually, I got an email today saying that they're canceling the whole TechNet subscription thing. So I was like, okay. Well, so much for buying that like 3 months ago and paying 200 bucks for it.
Wow. Are you going to get a refund?
I'm going to ask.
They'll probably prorate it.
I don't mind if it's prorated, to be honest.
As long as you get something back.
The ability to download any piece of software that they've ever had for free, well, I mean, for $200 a year, is like a steal. So that's why I got it. But I didn't read it full. It might just be that they're not offering people to pay it anymore and it'll still be around, but I have to read into the details later. But that's Windows and not Halo, so let's get back on Halo. So they have all the questions up on the bulletin from last week for June 27th, so go over, check them out. Most of the questions we probably already know the answers to, or we did know the answers to, and we have a couple clarifying ones which we just covered. On to the matchmaking update, playlist update. So today is a new set of a new playlist. We have Big Team Skirmish, which is replacing Team Objective. So instead of having the 6v6 objective stuff, we have Big Team Objective, essentially, now with Big Team Skirmish.
It's good and bad. I'm very happy that they finally have brought Objective to Big Team. That's been the most requested playlist for many months. The only thing that I'm bummed with, though, is that they didn't include a 4v4 Team Objective playlist as well then. If they're going to get rid of 6v6, which took over for the 4v4, at least bring the 4v4 back then. But, you know, I know they don't want to water down the playlists any more than they already have, but I think they could have taken out something else or merged something else to give us the 4v4 Team Objective.
Right.
So basically you hate BTB Skirmish. You despise it.
I don't despise it. No. I'm glad it's there. I just wish that there's not always a time where I have, you know, enough people online that want to play Big Team. And a lot of my friends don't like to play Big Team. So, but Objective, the reason why I think the 6v6 Objective didn't do so well is because it was 6v6. It was just, you know, that many people, and there's times where you can't get six people, you know, yourself and five others that want to play Objective. But four, it's very easy to get that.
So you're saying that you didn't enjoy Big Team Neutral Bomb on Waterworks back in Halo 2? I don't know what I'm saying.
I wasn't around for Halo 2, so I can't even say whether or not I did. I think what Sal's getting at, though, is there's certain times where you just want to play with a certain amount of people.
Yeah.
And it would be nice to see something along the lines of having all these different game types made available for different parties depending on your party size.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm saying. For
if
Halo
there was,
Xbox,
if there was a way, if there was a way for the playlist to intelligently know how many people are in your party, and if there were options to configure your matchmaking experience to say, I want to play games designed with just specifically my party in mind, then it'd be cool to see just like an objective playlist where it's like, okay, I'm going with this objective. I'm going with four people. Give me the options that will facilitate a 4-on-4 objective game. So like something small like Abandoned CTF or Exile King of the Hill. And that'd be your 4v4 set. And then your 66 set would be a little bit bigger. So you would maybe have Ragnarok King of the Hill or Ragnarok Regicide or something like that. And then if you had a party of 7 or 8, you'd go into big team objective, and then you would have the bigger maps like Meltdown and Vortex.
Yeah, but what if you wanted
to
play multi
medicine? Because you just blew my mind.
But if they could devise that kind of system, though, it would fit for a lot of different situations. And then when people go in to a party of 1 or 2 into the objective playlist, then and if they set their preferences to I don't care how many people I get matched up with, then they could fill into those different playlists and be like, okay, you're gonna go with the six v six route. You're gonna go with the big team route. If there was some logic there that they could muster, I don't know with the matchmaking system if you could do that. Just because I don't know, is the matchmaking system more of an Xbox Live feature? Because it seems like that's how it is, and you can't. I don't know if you can change the logic of the matchmaking system from Xbox Live as much to really dictate the customization of the matching. So I don't know exactly how the infrastructure works for matchmaking, but if there was a way to make it to where how I just described, that'd be awesome.
Well, if any studio were going to do that and make the shift into that kind of system like you were talking about, it would obviously be 343. I mean, they're the internal studio for Microsoft that if they ask for something in that system, like some sort of functionality, they would probably be the studio most likely to get that added into the new system or whatever. So
I think I have an article right now. Awesome. But anyways, the Big Team Skirmish playlist is going to have the following map and game type pairings. For Big Team CTF, there's going to be played on Longbow, Ragnarok, and Complex. For Big Team King of the Hill, it's going to be on Exile and Longbow. And then for Big Team Regicide, Complex and Settler.
That's cool. I'm cool with those.
Complex, as long as the spawns are okay on that one, then that should be fine.
Yeah.
Longbow CTF. I don't really recall ever playing CTF on Longbow.
No, it's never been. This is new.
That should be fun. I would imagine that one would be a fun one to play, as long as the top doesn't get abused too much. They have to be careful with the power weapon balance on that map.
Now here's the thing. Are they going to finally use the very outer bases then? You know how normally there's A and C are normally Dominion, but then there's those other ones that are even further out, especially the one on the water side. That would be great then, you know.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's essentially opening, well, quote-unquote, opening up another part of the map.
Yeah, because you never, it's so rare when you go into those bases, the ones that are further out, you know, the one that's by the I guess you can call it the mountainside one. It's so rare to even go into that base. And then the very far one on the water side, I've gone into them in matches, but it's rare when you do. So it'd be great if they had the flag spawn in those ones.
I like your thinking. You just blew my mind.
Ha-ha.
Everybody's blowing each other's minds.
But I think I'll just leave it.
That sounds so wrong.
Let's all just blow each other's minds, bro.
There you go. That's just what I was thinking.
Oh, boy.
You can blow my mind, and then I'll blow your mind. Then you can blow his mind.
All minds blown. Dun, dun, dun.
Cigarette, and I don't even smoke.
Oh, let's not start that habit, shall we?
No.
Okay, so the Big Team Infinity Slayer playlist is still staying in the matchmaking system. It's not being replaced by Big Team Skirmish. Big Team Skirmish is replacing team objectives. So the Big Team Slayer is still its own playlist. So everyone that's has fun in there, because that's by far the biggest or the most populated playlist. So they're not going to take that one away.
And I looked earlier today, I was on, and the Big Team Skirmish actually had a decent population in it. So I think that's going to do pretty well.
I see. Let's see. As far as the next stuff on the matchmaking play update goes, we have some flood updates. So there is a new game type coming down the pipeline called Hive Mind. This is a brand new experience to the Flood, and it's been built off of by the community cartographers. And the big point difference on this Flood game type is that it now takes a Flood two swings to actually kill a human. So this is designed to help elongate some of the Flood games to make it more enjoyable, so to speak. From what they said in the bulletin, it's been a lot of fun to play, so we'll see what happens when it comes out. I'm personally not a big fan of Flood. I mean, I like the concept of zombies, how it was in Halo 2, but you have to have really good maps in order for Flood to be fun. And in matchmaking, those maps, most of the time being the default maps, aren't that fun to play. Because you're either just getting shot over and over again by the humans, and it's a lot of predictable spawns, or you're just getting completely creamed by the Flood. There doesn't really seem to be an even ground from the built-in map. So they need to have these four maps that they have listed. Hopefully they're good. I haven't played any of them, but maybe you guys have. But the four maps that this new game type is going to be on is called Payload, Drill Site, Temple, and Regression.
Repression.
Oh, sorry, Repression.
Regression, Repression, it's all the same thing.
I repress a lot of stuff, so I'm repressing my memory of this incident right now.
But why would you do that?
Because I don't want to remember this. I don't want to remember episode 379 Emmy nominated of Podtacular.
Why?
It's too painful to remember. Too much guilt.
We blew his mind too much.
Too much shame.
He's not used to that.
Apparently not. We have too much power of blowing minds.
Mind-blowing power. Right, dun, here, dun, on podtacular.com.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to actually trying these. I've played a little bit of Flood in Halo 4. I can't say that I'm enthralled with it, but I enjoy it. I do enjoy it. And it was definitely a good way to max out the shotgun, for sure. And you can get some good magnum kills there, too. What I wish 343 would do is make a Flood-infected map. Just, you know, like, what is it in Halo 3, I think, when High Charity crashes onto Earth and it's already been Flood-infected and you have to go through it. Like, if we had a map like that, that would be kind of cool then.
You mean like the Floodgate campaign mission?
Not necessarily Flood... Well, is Floodgate part of that? I mean...
Yeah, that was Mission 5 from Halo 3.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the where you're going through High Charity.
Oh.
That was really Flood-infected.
Cortana?
Yeah, the mission was called Cortana.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just something like that, though. Just, you know, have some nice aesthetics with the Flood in there, too. One thing that I wish they would do with Flood, then, if they were going to do something like that, is have it that not only are you trying to, you know, stave off the Flood, but you would have kind of an objective thing where you're trying to get from point A to point B. And if you do, then, you know, you get points for that. And they could do that as a turn-based thing as well. You know, just I'm thinking out loud here with Flood, but, so this way, you know, not only are you trying to kill the Flood, but you're trying to escape them and get out of the area. So if they had a Flood map where it looked all floody.
So basically like Reverse Invasion.
Okay, I guess.
That's kind of what it sounds like.
It's like Perf. It's like CTF.
Silence.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Next up on the matchmaking update is a few changes to Dominion. So there are some changes going on here. I think they've pretty much gutted a lot of the power weapons on some of the maps, and they're balancing it more towards the ordnance being a lot of your loadout weapons, so good. Not as many power weapons on the maps anymore, which should be, good. Which should make the Dominion games a lot more balanced, a lot more actually pulling for the bases and more control. So,
yeah, I'm happy with that because I used to hate it when I would get one of the side bases and all that I kept getting for weapons is, you know, like shotgun or needler or stuff like that. But then the other base, the other team, they kept getting rockets over and over again. It's like, wow, how fair is that really? So,
right.
If they tamp down the power weapon spawns, excellent. I'm all for it.
Right. As far as like what they've changed on the map for Exile, there's an overshield near blue spawn that respawns every 60 seconds.
90.
And then, I'm sorry, 90 seconds. And then there's a sticky detonator above the red spawn, which spawns every 2 minutes.
Yep.
For longbow, there's a shotgun near each spawn that respawns every 2 minutes. And then there's the rocket launcher on the beach between Alpha and Charlie. So no longer at the Bravo site, but it's on the beach. And that respawns every 2 minutes. On Meltdown, there are needlers at each teleporter bunker, which spawn every minute. And then there's a fuel rod cannon on the main bridge, which respawns every 2 minutes. And then on Vortex, there's a concussion rifle near red spawn that spawns every 2 minutes. Sniper rifle near blue spawn, which respawns every 2 minutes. And then an energy sword underneath the middle base that respawns every 2 minutes. Also in Dominion, there is a new game type called Lockdown. This one focuses on just having one base being the central base during the game. And the scoring settings are, as described in the bulletin here, 100 points to win, 0 points for capturing, capture time of 1 second, fortified capture time of 5 seconds, and then fortified time for actual fortifying the base is 15 seconds. So the fortified capture time is when you convert it from one team to another. It's that time after you capture it to where it's fortified to your base. So that's 5 seconds. The initial fortified time is 15 seconds. And then the resupply points is 10 seconds. So every time you get a resupply, it's 10 points. It's 10 points to your score. And then the resupply frequency is 25 seconds. And there is no last stand.
Sounds interesting.
I like it. I like the sound of it. Hopefully they have some good maps to do it on. I would see a lot of good custom Forge Island type maps being very useful for this if the community cartographers can come up with some pretty cool ideas.
Mm, good idea there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that one's going to be a lot of fun, I think. Having this central base that you're pretty much controlling. I like that idea.
That's a lot of intense fighting.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Let's see. They've changed a few spawns on Haven as well. Fixed rotating ordnance issues on Simplex. And updated voting options in Infinity Slayer, SWAT, and Big Team Infinity to include some on-disk maps being brought up in the first slot. So that means a lot of people voting for that first map, if there's situations to get into ties, it's going to be the on this map preference over a lot of the other Forge maps.
Hmm.
Action Sack Mini Slayer is going to be receiving a new map, thankfully. It's called Napoleon.
Which I played it today.
And how was it?
It's okay. It uses the big building. It uses the top floor and part of the basement area as well. It's okay, but it just seems really small, even for Mini Slayer. The one key point, though, to note with this is that there are two concussion rifles that spawn fairly close to one another. And this is something that even with the other map in Mini Slayer, if you haven't got your concussion rifle kills up and you're working on the commendation, that's certainly a very good playlist to go into and pick that game type. I think I got, in the one game, I might have gotten maybe 8 kills with it. you know, besides the AR. I mean, I did pretty good in that game, but it was nice to get 8 concussion kills in one game. So that's something I suggest if you need to work on commendations. But the map itself is so-so. I know that they're looking at the 4 maps that I submitted to them, so I'm hoping that they pick one or more of my maps to go into matchmaking, because they're made specifically for Mini Slayer.
Cool.
We'll see. But it's okay. Napoleon's okay, but it's so-so. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Did they change any of the speed and gravity stuff on the game tabs, or is that still the same?
No, that's still the same.
So it's still really, really hectic and not really that much fun, other than being small.
Yeah, that was something I also had pointed out to them. I asked them, you know, if they could tweak it some to bring the gravity to about 150 and take your speed to 75% instead, because then you would... It seems like you're moving slower, but at that scale, you're not. And then as far as the gravity goes, you know, well, people will be like, 150%, my God. But the thing is you're not at 100% when you're that small, though. You're jumping like Superman over, leaping over a tall building.
You can just reduce the jump height, because there is a separate variable for jump height and gravity.
Okay, that'll work, too.
So just you do one or the other, do both, a combination of both.
Yeah.
But I think if they tone that down and make it to where it's maybe not quite as low as the normal speed of the game, but a little bit more closer to it, I think it's going to be a lot more enjoyable that way.
Yeah. It gets a little hectic whenever you're trying to shoot at somebody and they just zip right by you. Then you're having to turn around quickly and shoot at them. And people are trying to melee each other, and there is no melee in that. There is assassinations, but melee doesn't work in Mini Slayer. So,
Right. Wrapping up the bulletin is the screenshots of the week, and this week's spotlight is for mantises. A few good ones in here. I think there's about half and half in terms of good quality ones versus ones, in my opinion. I personally like Annihilation. The Chillin' one is pretty cool. Lone Star Pest Control, that one's just funny, more or less. And then Big Team Infinity Slayer by Mark83. Those are kind of my top picks for the screenshots from this week. Show No Mercy is a pretty good one too, though. It's a close runner-up. But the other ones are just, in my opinion, are kind of like meh.
Yeah, Incinerator versus Manus is like generic as hell. Like, I mean, how much more generic could you get than shooting an incineration cannon at a Manus?
Like, right.
That's the prime weapon for that. Like,
right. And then Blue Mantis, I mean, the color effect is cool, but other than that, it's like, okay. Same thing for the Brandt prototype, and then their charcoal hearts just don't quite do it for me.
Yeah, it's just kind of disappointing after last week's cone screenshot collection.
Yeah, the cones were funny.
Those were hilarious. I love that.
Oh, the cone. Brought to you by Halo 3 mishaps. All right. Sal, do you have a favorite that you want to pick out from the screenshots last week?
I don't have it pulled up in front of me, so I can't really comment.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, we'll move on then. So, it turns out that we have some Emmy nominations up for Forward Unto Dawn.
Woohoo!
Which is pretty cool. There are quite a few different categories that people have been nominated for Emmys for Forward Unto Dawn. I'm going to go ahead and read through a list of the nomination categories that are up for grabs. The first one is a special class. It's a short format live action entertainment program. Of course, that's for Forward Unto Dawn in general, but it's for Linda and Tioni, executive producer, and Josh Feldman, executive producer. So Josh and Lita are up for that Emmy. Outstanding lead actor in a drama series, Tom Green as Thomas Lasky for episode 5. Outstanding lead actress in a drama series, Anna Pompoel as Shyler, of course, in episode 3.
Kyler.
Sorry, Kyler. It's been a while. Outstanding supporting actor in a drama series. What? Sorry?
Sorry. You know who's really going to like that news if he hasn't already commented? Is Cruel Legacy. He's got a thing for Anna Popplewell.
A couple of people on Twitter have a thing for Anna Popplewell. Outstanding supporting actor in a drama series, Massam Holden as Michael Sullivan in episode 4. Outstanding supporting actress in a drama series, Anisha Brewster as April Orinsky in episode 1. That's the one that you mentioned earlier, Sal.
Yeah, yeah.
Pre-show. Outstanding writing for a drama series to Todd Helbing and Aaron Helbing for episodes 1 and 3. Outstanding visual special effects in the supporting role for Josh Sullivan. And then outstanding music composition for a series for Nathan Lanier. So those are the nomination categories for Emmys for Ford Unto Dawn. So
that's
good
impressive.
Luck to you guys out there. Yeah, it is. Especially that there are so many out there. We have four of the cadets essentially up for lead and supporting roles. Yeah. As actors and actresses in here, so that's pretty cool to see.
Definitely.
So, good luck to you guys out there. May the best actresses and actors and all the other categories win, so to speak. That's cool, though, just to see something as small as Ford Unto Dawn be nominated for Emmys. That's really cool to see. That kind of makes me happy that I'm a Halo fan.
Definitely. When you read the article too, I think the both Anna Popplewell and Tom Green, that they both seemed a bit surprised that they were nominated and very happy, of course, for it.
Yeah, it seems like they're just totally amazed by the Halo community, and then the whole Emmy nomination thing is just like kind of mind blowing that something like Halo can even get an Emmy nomination for something, whether or not you consider it as small or big as something in as Halo 4, but still, it's just a outstanding praise and accomplishment to the folks even behind the series and for coming up with the idea to do Spartan Ops, or sorry, not Spartan Ops, Ford of the Dawn in the first place.
And then when you consider that it was really a web series to start with, that it wasn't a TV show, you know, that's really saying something. That's showing where media and, shows are going these days. That, just because you're on TV does not guarantee that you're going to get these accolades.
Right. So, again, fantastic job out there, guys. We are really excited to see that hopefully there are a few nominations or a few Emmys that get awarded to the folks that worked on Ford Unto Dawn. So good luck to you guys out there. If you haven't gone and read the article, like Halo Fan for Life said, go over to the Waypoint blog. There is a lengthy interview from Anna Popplewell and Tom Green. So they're the two lead actors in the series playing Lasky and Kyler. So definitely go over and check that out.
If I can pitch my thing that I mentioned previous, before the
okay.
show.
Okay.
Yeah, Anisha Brewster, who played April Orinsky, I've been following her a while on Twitter, and she's followed me back. And I've had the fortune to be able to talk with her a little bit through Twitter. And I submitted some questions for an interview with her some time ago. And I guess she was busy, so she didn't get the chance to get back. But when these Emmy nominations came back up, I asked her about them again and sent the questions to her at her request. So I'm hoping sometime by the end of the week, I'll have those back in, and I'll actually have an interview to post up on my site with Anisha Brewster.
Cool.
So that'll be pretty cool, I think.
Very nice. Let us know when that's up.
Oh, definitely.
Because we'll plug it on the show.
I appreciate it. Definitely will.
All right. On to some tournament information coming up at RTX this week. As you guys know from what we talked about last time, there is a Halo 4 tournament going on for this summer that's being started up by 343 and probably Virgin Gaming. And it is a tournament that has around $500,000 worth of prizes to be won.
Woo!
And, of course, the first preliminary qualifiers are going to be at RTX. So if you're going, definitely make sure that you go over and sign up. When you're there doing the getting your badges and doing the registration booth thing, there's going to be a pre-registration booth there as well for the Halo tournament open on Friday. So the registration booths actually open on Thursday, but they will not have the registration booth for the Halo tournament open until Friday. So at 9 a.m. in Hall 5 with the rest of the registration booths, go over and sign up for the Halo tournament if you're interested and you're going to Austin, Texas for RTX. If you do miss the registration period, there will be registrations at the booth on the show floor on Friday, so you can register there as well. The tournament, of course, starts on Friday. It is single elimination FFA brackets with the top players in the games advancing to the next round. So I think if it's any indication of how competitive Halo's done in the past, it's the top four people in the FFA games out of eight players in the game advance. So I think that's how things work. There's still some details about the tournament that they haven't released yet, so of course that's speculation. There will be group stages that continue throughout Saturday. Top players, of course, advancing and going on through Sunday. And then Sunday will include the final rounds of FFA matches and then end with 1v1, a 1v1 bracket to determine the champion of RTX. So the game types are as follows. FFA, 8 minutes, unlimited scoring, motion tracker is enabled, and personal ordnance with armor abilities from the V4 competitive settings. For the loadouts, you're going to have, in every loadout, one primary rifle, no secondary weapon, two frags, no armor ability. Tactical package is going to be resupply, and your support upgrade is going to be ammo. And of the primary rifles that you get to choose, is going to be battle rifle, DMR, carbine, and light rifle. The maps that are going to be played on for the FFA part of the tournament is Haven, Skyline, and Onyx, which is a Forge Island map. For the 1v1 games type setting, for the last few games that are going to be used to determine the championship of the RTX qualifier, motion tracker is disabled, score to win is 10, time limit is 20 minutes. Game ends at 10 minutes unless there is a tie, in which case it goes into sudden death. Personal ordnance is armor abilities from the V4 competitive settings. Same loadouts as before, and the 1v1 maps are Skyline and Onyx. There will be full details posted on July 3rd, I believe, with full out game type details and I think like map weapon spawns and all that good stuff. So they will be broadcasting the finals on Sunday as well. So make sure to check out Waypoint, of course, for the live stream schedule and to check out the games themselves. So if you're in Austin and you want to participate in this tournament, definitely go register and check them out on Friday. And then good luck to you guys that decide to go out and try to be the best out there. I know there's some competitive people attending RTX, so they may be playing in the tournament as well. So you better be practicing now. If you're not, then I don't know how successful you're going to be. But good luck to everyone out there that goes and registers and plays. I personally would not be registering because I have plenty of other things to do, like do interviews, do podcasts with Brent, have my own panel, hang out with friends, and all that good stuff. But I'll be definitely lurking around the 343 booth with my 343 shirt.
Yeah.
You're popular.
I'd be
Everybody
popular.
Loves Dusty. It's true. Everybody loves Dusty. I've never met anybody who does not like Dustin.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I think it's impossible. Like, you have some sort of magnetic field surrounding you that disrupts everybody's mental wavelength or whatever, makes them love you.
You almost make it sound like I'm inducing people into mind control.
Yeah, you're an X-Man mutant. That's your power. You can make people love you.
I think it's just his imposing stature. You know, he might be, you know, a lovable bear kind of a, you know, a guy, but, you know, they look at him like, I better like this guy or else.
You better love
sit on you.
Nah, I've met you in person, man. I happen to like you.
Yay, I'm liked. All right, so that covers the Halo 4 tournament information. couple more things on the docket to discuss. First being not specifically Halo news, but it is Xbox related. Don Mattrick. We all know who he is. He has left Xbox and has gone to Zynga, of all places.
Buzzing.
Now, there are definitely theories on what exactly happened, if he was pressured to leave or if he left on his own accord or what happened, but we can probably assume that it was based on the whole PR response to how people felt about the Xbox reveal and all the stuff around the features of the Xbox One.
I'm glad he's gone.
Yeah, so I'm gonna let you and Brent talk this one out. Because I have a feeling the conversation between you two is going to be a lot more interesting than anything I would have to say. So go for it. You guys have the stage for 15 minutes. Just okay. Go for it.
You want me to start, Brent, or you want to start?
Go ahead and start.
All right. Well, basically, I looked at this guy at the initial reveal for the Xbox One, and he just seemed so freaking smug. You know, he had that smug look on his face, and there's been plenty of comments about, you know, why did they have to bring the suits out for this? And yes, I know he was a developer before, but it's pretty clear that he lost sight of, you know, what it was to be a developer and being close to gamers and so on. It really didn't surprise me at all that he was leaving Xbox. Whether or not it was that, you know, they fired him or that he was leaving, it just doesn't surprise me one bit. I tend to think that he probably already had a deal with Zynga. And so that's why he kind of had this devil may care attitude about, you know, the Xbox and like, oh, you know, well, whatever. I'll just, you know, I'll go through the motions, say what I need to say, you know, but I mean, really, who in his right mind, would say like the comment that he made, and I can't quote it exactly, but essentially that, you know, well, if you don't have internet access for the Xbox One, then stick with the 360. Basically, he was telling consumers, hey, screw you. If you don't like the way it is, oh, well, deal with it, you know? And if you recall, weeks before the Xbox One reveal, there was that other, Microsoft employee who essentially said the same thing. If you don't like the way these things are going, deal with it. And guess what? He got fired. So, you know, again, he could be fired. He could have already had to deal with Zynga. Whatever the case is, I'm just glad he's gone. And now maybe they can, you know, get back on track. And as I tweeted earlier today, now they've gotten their head out of their literally, you know, well, maybe not literally, but they got rid of the head of Xbox, and now they can hopefully move on and get away, you know, from that tarnishing that they had from E3 and before.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't hate Don Mattrick. I've watched a lot of E3 press conferences with Don, like, whatever. He seems like a decent dude. First of all, I've got a problem with him choosing Zynga. Like, that might show that perhaps he was a bit more malicious, than I initially thought, just based on old E3 presentations. But Zynga, in my opinion, is the worst kind of video game company. They don't care about making games, they care about making money, and they will make games that they think will make them the most money. Now, I mean, every game developer and publisher wants to make money with their video games, but Zynga goes out of their way to try and intentionally make games that force people to pay money to advance in that game against friends or whatever.
You're 100% spot on there.
That's what they've always done. That's why Farmville was real popular for about 2 years until everybody figured out that you're just paying people for what's essentially a animated GIF on your screen. Some people were paying thousands upon thousands of bucks for Farmville, which is surprising. Like, I would never pay $1,000 for a single video game, ever. You couldn't get me to do it. But, oh, yeah, I mean, but even Destiny, like...
I have three Halo-themed Xbox consoles.
Yeah, but did those consoles have value by themselves? If you took them and sold them to somebody, could you get that money back? I mean, at least a little bit of money. You wouldn't get the exact amount you paid, but you could go sell that. You have a physical product that you could go and resell.
True.
The thing with all of the Zynga Cash, once you pay that, all you're getting are digital goods.
That's it.
Is literally just paying for downloadable content, essentially, except downloadable content on consoles tends to be actual gameplay, you know, like the Mass Effect missions, stuff like that, added onto Borderlands.
Just a quick disclaimer here, no offense to our brethren over at Critzcast. We know you guys love your hats.
Hats are different. I'll explain that. Here's the thing. In TF2, if you buy a hat, it doesn't affect gameplay, correct?
Right.
The hats have no effect on whether or not you can win a match of TF2.
Correct.
In Farmville, first of all, it's not competitive, which that's just insane to me why you would pay for a non-competitive game.
Yeah, but, I know, that's weird.
Once you buy this stuff, it's stuff that you couldn't get in-game, and a lot of the stuff will actually give you more things within the Farmville universe. Like, you'll make more Farmville cash if you have a certain bought item on your farm or whatever. It's different. In TF2, that is literally just a cosmetic change on your character. I'm fine with that kind of DLC. But Farmville specifically locks players out of content that would help them play the game and makes them pay for it. So Zynga, in my opinion, is kind of the worst kind of monetary model for a video game that you could put out.
What's worse is that you don't know how long that game is going to last. If they decide, you know what, the numbers aren't there, 6 months later, they could say, you know what, we're shutting the servers down on that game, and boom, it's gone. You can't play it ever again.
Yeah, eventually Farmville will come down. Eventually, enough people will not care about Farmville to where they're eventually just going to shut that entire service down. And that's assuming that Zynga doesn't go bankrupt in the next 2 years. You know, Zynga's been having real bad financial problems lately, which surprises me. Like, if I went from essentially, you know, there's three big gaming companies right now, three big publishers as far as who you consider the big three in the gaming industry. There's Sony, there's Nintendo, and then there's the Xbox division of Microsoft.
Seems like a strange move for Matrick to go to Zynga then.
Yeah, it's just weird because he went from being, you know, the head North American CEO of Xbox, which is a North American company anyway, and now he's the CEO, and they don't even know if he's going to be the CEO. That people really don't understand what position he's going to take right now at Zynga, but people are assuming it's probably going to be the CEO, but it's just a real step down, you know?
Mm.
Most people, except the Xbox One decision recently, respect Xbox as a brand. They understand that Xbox gave us things like Forza Motorsport. They gave us Halo. They gave us Fable, you know? I mean, Fables 1 and 2 were great. People love Fable 1 and 2. They've given us a lot of great franchises, just like Sony and Nintendo has, and now he's moving to Zynga, which has given us, arguably, the biggest franchise for Zynga is Farmville. And if you ask any gamer about Farmville, they'll tell you that that is a crazy, stupid game they would never play. So, to me, it just seems like a real step down for Don. I don't feel bad for him, because it was his decision to move to Zynga, but you can tell that this is a demotion in a way.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you had mentioned about their troubles, too. They recently had they let go of 520 people. So that really has you scratching your head then as to why he would go to a company like that. You know, do they really have that much belief in him that he's going to bring them back? You know, and then with the PR nightmare that happened with the Xbox One, you know, I wonder if Zynga's now thinking about that too, you know, but they must have already had a deal inked out, you know. That's why I'm led to believe that, you know, the press releases that happened, you know, the Xbox One reveal, the E3, you know, situation that, he must have already had something going on with Zynga. I find it really hard to believe though, that he could go from Xbox to Zynga. They must have offered him a lot of money.
Well, and that quickly after the PR blow up, that's kind of strange.
Yeah.
To me, I don't see this deal with Zynga happening between, you know, right now and the Xbox One reveal. Like, that was just too short an amount of time. What is it, like a month, maybe? since we've known about the Xbox One. To me, a transition like that would have taken longer than a month to kind of get on paper and figure out, like, if he was going to leave Xbox, he would have had to actually look around, find, you know, who's hiring, who wants a CEO, and then they would have actually had to go to that company, talk with them, you know, convince that company that they would be a good CEO. I just don't feel like Don Matrick did this because of the Xbox One thing. I think maybe, I mean, he seems like a smart guy. He might have foreseen that all of these things that Xbox 360 are doing, you know, it's really kind of counterintuitive, you know, right before they announced that they're reversing all of their decisions. But, you know, after he learned that that was happening with the Xbox One, he might have had the kind of, you know, the intuition to understand that a lot of gamers are going to backlash against that, and maybe he decided it was just time to move on. I've read on some articles that Zynga has some sort of studio where he used to live, and he wants to move back there. That's what happened to Peter Moore. Peter Moore was, you know, originally the Xbox's CEO for a long time. He would do the same stuff that Don Matrick did. And then he moved on to EA Sports because then he could live in the San Francisco Bay Area and, you know, be where he wanted to live. So, I mean, once you have enough money as Peter Moore and Don Matrick do, you can move into any job you want as long as it, you know, suits your fancy. And I can understand, you know, if I'm a CEO and I want to live in a certain area of the country, you know, maybe you can't stay with Xbox and move to that area of the country, you know? So you have to change companies. That's what Peter Moore did. So I'm thinking it was more like probably that reason.
Hmm.
Because I cannot imagine being the CEO of Xbox for North America and, you know, deciding I want to leave that company to go work for Zynga, who is potentially going bankrupt right now, you know?
Yeah.
It just seems like a nuts kind of just crazy transition, but I don't know.
Unless Xbox said, hey, you're out of here. And, you know, he pitched to Zynga, hey, you know what? I can come and work for you guys for this much money, which is less than he was making with Xbox. And they pounced on the idea knowing that he, you know, being the head of Xbox. Who knows, you know? Your theory is good. It's a sound theory for sure. I like that. And that's probably closer to what it really is. But still, in any event, I'm glad he's gone.
I really don't care. They'll just replace him with a new hat. As it, I mean,
does that affect
easy
gameplay
now,
or is that just aesthetic?
I don't.
Easy.
You would hope it would affect gameplay. I mean, if I had an hat in TF2, I would want it to affect gameplay. But
wow. All right. I think that wraps up the discussion pretty well. As far as some other Halo news goes, Halo 3 is actually not on the docket for the free games being offered for this month. So it's actually going to be sometime down the line.
Yeah, they actually said during the E3 discussion about that in the next coming months. So they didn't say it was going to be this month.
Right.
So for those people that are getting up in arms about the fact that Halo 3 is not coming out this month, go back and look at the videos from E3 where they talk about it. And they said Halo 3 will be a free game in the coming months. So, you know, who knows when?
Yeah, so slight oversight from the community's point. But, I mean, we're still getting it at some point down the line. Just not sure when.
I don't know. I've had Halo 3 since 2007. So, I mean, really, Halo 3 now?
I already bought Halo 3 digitally, to be honest. I bought all the Halo games digitally, except for Halo 4. So, yeah. I'll download it on my other gamer tags, but I already have it on my primary. So, thanks. It'd be nice to get like an 800-point thing for being a loyal customer and already having it. Come on, Microsoft. Give me a break here.
That ain't gonna happen.
You're taking away my tech net, huh? Anyways, so that wraps up the news from what we kind of missed over the past week or so from us being kind of behind on the bulletin stuff. But we're caught back up. We'll resume our normal podcasting schedule on Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. The time may be a little bit different this Thursday, depending on what schedules are and everything, but it will be on Thursday. We will let you guys know what's going on via Twitter and Facebook and all that good stuff. But we are returning to Thursdays as our normal podcasting schedule, so yay! As far as podcast content, we are starting to look into our lore stuff, so start reading the books. If you haven't already, go ahead and reading the Karen Travis and the Greg Bear books, because we will be talking about those very, very soon. We also have a few communities lined up to be guest hosts on the show as well, so we're going to have some interesting new content to talk about there, including some recent partners that we've acquired. So I made the official announcement on this a couple days ago, and have we talked about it a little bit on our last podcast, but we are now partnered with thepodcast.com. That is PODKAST.com. And a part of that network is Critcast, the TF2 podcast, which is essentially kind of similar to what we do with Halo, except they do it for Team Fortress 2. And then there is Reachcast, a PlanetSide 2 podcast, a part of that network as well. So we have joined their ranks, and that was on episode 225 of Critcast, kind of as the official beckoning to that network. So if you guys have not checked that out, please go do so. And if you guys are remotely interested in Team Fortress 2, definitely subscribe to Critcast, because they are a wonderful show. They are kind of podcast idols to me in terms of I like to try to match their quality in terms of what we do for our stuff with Halo as they do for TF2. So they're a great bunch of guys. It was fun to have. It was a blast to be invited to be on their show, and had a lot of fun. And we will have them on our show within the next month or so. And that pretty much wraps up today's show. Thank you guys again for tuning in. Remember, we do this live on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/podtacular. You can also follow us on other social networks such as YouTube, youtube.com/podtactv, and then Facebook and Twitter, whackpodtacular on both of those places. Check out our website, podtacular.com, and while you're there, make sure you submit us any questions, feedbacks about anything that you have regarding the shows, regarding Halo 4, regarding anything that we've talked about in the last month or so. Definitely hit us up. You can do so by sending us an email to submissions@podtacular.com, leaving us a voicemail at 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256. Or you can tweet us, throw us a message on Facebook. However you want to get a hold of us, drop us a line. We're happy to hear from you guys. And another thing, we do have a PayPal button on our homepage that we use for if people want to donate. Of course, we do this for you guys for free, but we've actually had some very generous people donate to us as of late. So huge shout outs to them for donating some money our way and helping us pay for hosting and swag and other things going to this. Some of the swag that's going to be at RTX is I have 30 Podtacular buttons that I'm going to be giving out. So if you are RTX and you want one of those buttons, come find me and you'll get one. Lastly, I want to give a huge shout out to Goose and Green Skull, who have become Microsoft MVPs. So huge shout outs to them for getting into the program. They definitely deserve it, especially with all the time and effort that they put into Halo. Dan's more kind of overall gaming, but he does do a lot of time and effort into Xbox related stuff. And then, Goose with all the stuff that she does for Griffball. And I have a feeling 343 had something to do with this for getting their names in there. So congrats to you guys for, making the MVP program. It's really cool to see community people such as yourselves get into that program. So we're really excited for you and, really thrilled to see you guys in the program. So congrats. I think that pretty much wraps things up. Thanks again, guys, for tuning in to us. We will be doing, for those listening live, Monday Night Matchmaking for about an hour after wrapping the show up. So for those of you who are listening to this afterwards, we normally do Monday Night Matchmaking at 8:30 p.m. Monday nights whenever there is a matchmaking update in the Halo Bulletin. And then we regularly do Wacky Wednesdays every week on Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern as well. All right. Again, for Halo Fan for Life and for Brent Gamer, thank you for tuning in. This has been episode 379 of Podtacular. And we will see you guys next time. Keep on fracking them Emmys.
Yes, keep on fracking Emmys.
In a good way.
I'm trying to keep on fracking Don Matrick.
Oh.
Keep on fracking Zynga.